Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. I hope everyone is having lovely days. It's Sunday morning while I'm recording this. I just had a poached egg. Two, actually. It's very nice. And do you know what I spent a lot of yesterday thinking about, which I never found a conclusion to? Maybe I should Google this. But how hot it would have to be in your car for an egg to cook inside its shell, like if you left it there all day. Thought about that quite a lot yesterday. Turns out, not as hot as it was yesterday. That wasn't hot enough. So, we'll see. Okay, buckle up, because today I am going to cover one of the most important topics when it comes to dieting, which is the psychology of dieting. This is why some diets work for some people and don't seem to work for other people. And it is the key to successful dieting. The reason that you haven't found what works for you is more to do with psychology than it is to do with physiology. The reason that X diet or the ketogenic diet or low carb or, I mean, they're kind of similar, or, you know, intermittent fasting worked for your friend but doesn't seem to work for you is down to psychology, as opposed to you being physically different and needing some specific diet because of that. And the psychology is important because that subsequently impacts adherence. Any diet that creates an energy deficit over time, which requires adherence, will work for fat loss. Some people believe this to be an oversimplification, but it's not. That's it. It is that simple, but it's certainly not that easy. And the part that people oversimplify is the various things that can impact energy balance. But that is a topic for another day. If you're interested in things like that, you should definitely be signing up to EIQ Nutrition, which you can do at eiqnutrition.com. Anyway, the key factor in dieting success is how restricted you feel on that diet, which links to how much you still enjoy your life and if you're living your quote-unquote best life, or if you feel like you're constantly missing out on things. And that will impact your resulting behaviors. And this is really individual. For example, I find tracking calories really tedious, unnecessary, boring, not something I stick to long term. And for me, beyond an initial period to promote calorie awareness, it's unnecessary. You do not have to track your calories, but it is a very useful tool for most people. And it's important to remember that the benefit of calorie tracking isn't the numbers on the app. I've been through this numerous times, but there are so many inaccuracies that come into calorie tracking. Again, we go into this massively in EIQ. And I've actually just, I was going to say finished, but that would be a lie. I'm about halfway through a new lecture for EIQ on the fundamentals, but it covers this in great detail. So, you know, you should head on over there. What you really get from tracking and why it's so useful is accountability, awareness of calories and food, awareness of what you're putting in your mouth, the consideration of what you're about to eat instead of just mindlessly eating. You can achieve all of those things without tracking, but those are the benefits to tracking. And back to my point, there is ample evidence, both scientific and anecdotal, showing that you can lose weight on low-carb diets, on low-fat diets, on ketogenic diets, on intermittent fasting, using Weight Watchers, paleo, if it fits your macros, clean eating, calorie tracking, basically anything that is going to reduce your calorie intake and create an energy deficit over time. Some people find it quite surprising that there are so many diets that seem to work, but it's really not when you understand the underlying mechanisms. And the people that successfully lose weight long term on any of these diets have done so because they found a way to create an energy deficit over time. And that seems to suit them. That way of dieting seems to suit them. Maybe they feel less restricted on it. What I will add on here is a bit of a side note, and the reason that it's so important to understand why things work is that many people wrongly attribute their success to a specific diet rather than to the underlying mechanism, which is caloric restriction. And this can result in a lot of problems. So fear around food or orthorexic tendencies. And a great example of this is believing that you only lost weight because you cut out carbs, and then avoiding carbs for the rest of your life because you're scared that as soon as you eat them, you'll put the weight back on. That's why it's so important to understand the reason that you lost weight is because you were in negative energy balance. That gives you food freedom. That understanding gives you food freedom. Otherwise, you're controlled by this, the specifics of this diet. So the diet that is best for you, to a very large degree, is the one that you feel least restricted on. And this is why there's no one best diet for everyone. There's no one way that humans should eat. And the point I want to make about restriction is subjective, not objective. You can't tell someone that they are or are not restricted because it's a feeling. Being restricted isn't a specific calorie number. You can't say 1500 calories is restrictive, but 1800 isn't. It is something that you perceive, which is why mindset and the mindset behind dieting is so, so important. One of the big problems with the way that we think about dieting is that it creates restriction. Even the word diet gives connotations of food avoidance, of increased hunger, of suffering, of restriction, essentially. As soon as you tell someone they are on a diet, they immediately feel restricted, even if you haven't restricted them yet. Even if you don't change their food intake, the fact that they are on a diet makes them feel restricted. And as soon as we feel restricted, we tend to want to fight against that. Which brings me nicely on to a bit of dieting psychology or mindset around dieting. So I spoke to a client this week who was trying to quote unquote force herself back into routine. And that will never work long term. If you want lasting results, you really need to reframe this into working with yourself and not against yourself. Start wanting the absolute best for yourself instead of trying to hate, shame, and bully yourself into change. In fact, Cori nailed this with "Ain't nobody shaming themselves into behavior change," which is absolutely spot on. If you find that you are constantly telling yourself, "I just need to be more disciplined, I just need to force myself back into routine, I need to work on my willpower," or "I just don't want it enough," I have news for you. It will always be a massive slog if you're working against yourself. You will never bully or hate yourself into long-term change. When it comes to your diet, the idea is to fuel your body to thrive, not to see how little you can survive on. And I had another chat with a client this week who was saying that she's really struggling to get her head away from the fact that she could be eating less on this diet. So the mindset of, oh, well, you know, I don't feel massively over restricted. I don't feel hungry all of the time. I could probably eat less. Like, thank you, diet culture, for making women feel like we should be eating as little as humanly possible at all times. The whole point in changing your diet and changing your exercise is to feel your best. Not to be miserable or weak or lacking energy. All the connotations that most people think of when someone says diet, like over restriction, unenjoyment, avoidance of food. That isn't the point here. The point is to have you feeling your best. And that includes while you're losing fat. Going from being inactive and overweight to being active and a healthy body weight should give you more energy to enjoy your life, not less. And I think that we've lost that message somewhere that fat loss is going to be a really hard thing. And I don't know if it's partly diet culture and it's partly idolizing like bodybuilding prep where they're talking about the grind. For most people, that's completely irrelevant. There's absolutely no need to be doing that. You should be feeling better on your diet, not worse. The reason that a bodybuilder feels worse on their diet is they're going to the absolute extreme. You're not. I mean, 99% of my clients are not. They want to get to a healthy body weight. They want to look and feel their best. They want to be quite lean, but they don't want to be unhealthy lean levels of body fat, which means they don't have to grind. They don't have to suffer. They should be feeling better, not worse. Okay, right. That was the first half of the podcast that I just needed to get off my chest. Now I want to talk about how to implement change in mindset into your diet and exercise approach, because I think this is annoyingly something that's often missing. So we're very much like, oh, you need to change your mindset. But then, okay, right, how? What are the practical parts here? And one of my issues with the focus on mindset, because it is so, so important, I'm not saying there shouldn't be a focus on it, it's probably the most important part. But it's often hard to know where to start. And people frequently assume that they need to get their mindset right before they take any action, which simply leads to a lack of action and then staying where you are. And what I've seen, and the point I want to make here, is that action changes your mindset. So this is put far more eloquently than I can by Kevin Kelly, and the quote is, "It is much easier to change how you think by changing your behavior than it is to change your behavior by changing how you think. Act out the change you seek." So essentially, to change the way that you think, you need to change the way that you behave. You need to act out the change that you seek. You need to take action. And this action doesn't need to be huge. So this is where the model that I have created comes into play. The names aren't great. I should probably work on this. But essentially, it's action changes your mindset, which changes your subsequent behavior. And even a small action in the direction of your goal is an investment in the pursuit of that goal. So as humans, we tend to be quite loss averse. And loss aversion, which I have stolen from economics, is the tendency to prefer avoiding losses than to acquiring gains, i.e. it's more painful to lose something than it is to gain something. And understanding human behavior means that you can use this to your advantage. Loss aversion is linked to the sunk cost principle, which if you are an avid listener of the podcast, you will have heard me speak about numerous times. But you can use this in your favor. So a sunk cost, in this instance, being an investment, this could be time, money, emotion, effort, or a combination of all of them that you cannot get back. But the more that you invest in something, the harder it is to give that up. And it's why we pursue failing business ideas that we've put a lot of effort into, or we stay in unfulfilling careers because we've worked hard to get there, or we stay in unhappy relationships because we've been together for X amount of years. The investment reduces our ability to think clearly and rationally about further investment. But you can use this to your advantage by investing in your goals with actions that you take. So by investing time, effort, and emotion into getting closer to your goals. The more that you invest, the more averse that you will be to giving up or doing things that will negatively impact your goals. So for this reason, an action that is aligned with your goals will lead to further behaviors that are aligned with your goals. But you should be aware that this works in both ways. So an action that isn't in line with your goals often leads to further actions or behaviors that compound this and also aren't in line with your goals. The classic example is going slightly off your calories and then thinking, oh, fuck it, I can't be bothered. Or having one cookie and then thinking, I may as well have the whole bag now. One really simple tip to end the podcast, and one way that I use this loss aversion mentality with my clients, is by implementing a morning routine. And it's one of the key foundations of the Commit to Six program. And by the end of the program, not only is everyone exceptionally good at push-ups, but they also get results because their subsequent behaviors for the rest of the day are impacted by their first action of the day being a positive step in the direction of their goals. So I do my morning routine while the kettle boils. And I say that just to prove that it isn't a long thing. It doesn't have to be a huge sacrifice in time. It's just a small action in the direction of your goal. And it isn't about the exercise that you do per se. It's about that positive start to the day. And the psychology behind this is that it's an investment that you will then naturally try to protect with the rest of your behaviors throughout the day. And if you want to see how this works in action, then you're going to need to join Commit to Six. And we have an intake coming up for the 3rd of August. So you can head to esgfitness.co.uk to sign up. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, please do tag me on Instagram at esgfitness and let me know that you've enjoyed it. And if you haven't reviewed or liked the podcast yet, rated the podcast, please do that. It helps me massively.